Well, let's come then to the Word of God. And tonight I'd like us to turn to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter and the second verse. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Dear congregation, the Apostle Paul, having his heart so stirred, wrote, as we read earlier in Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul, he felt the kisses of Christ through the Spirit, and his heart was so moved, and he was burdened that those who were hearing him, and obviously down through the generations, that they would comprehend more and more the love of Christ, that they would not only comprehend it, but also to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, to feel his love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now in Psalm 2 verse 12, we are presented with that call to men and women, boys and girls. Psalm 2 verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And there is that call to kiss the Son. We know again in light of Acts that that psalm particularly concerns Christ. And there is the Son. Well, there's the call to kiss the Son. And there, as the Reverend John Brown of Haddington puts it, there is the kissing of Christ. And we can consider, first of all, the kiss of receiving, or faith. We notice at the end of Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son, receive. When one gives a kiss, they receive one. Or there is the call to receive by faith, the kiss of receiving. Secondly, we can consider the kiss of love, or affection. Kiss the Son. Thirdly, there is the kiss of friendship. Oh, to look on Christ as a friend. And the kiss of friendship. There's reconciliation. There's peace. Fourthly, the kiss of submission. Kiss the Son. He is the King upon the holy hill of Zion. The kiss of submission. To bow the knee before Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What a day is coming when many will be forced to bow in submission. But oh, consider these words here. Kiss the Son, oh, to bow in submission to him, the kiss of submission. In days gone by, a king would hold out his hand and a subject would kiss the hand, the kiss of submission. But in 50 there, as we think of the kiss, kissing the Son, the kiss of adoration, adoring Christ. We think there of the kissing of Christ. Let me ask you, have you kissed the Son by way of faith? And how is it, dear child of God, this past week? Have you been kissing the Son? Have you shown to him his love? Shown to him your love, rather? You know, I think of those words in Psalm 116. I love the Lord. And there the psalmist, he makes known his love to the Lord. Have you spoken of your love to Christ this week? Have you talked to him? You know, a wife will speak to her husband, I love you. And often, oh, that we would be found often speaking to the beloved, I love the Lord. Have you been showing it to him? Have you been showing to him that you so value him, that he is the best of friends? Have you been submitting to him and adoring him? Things may have been difficult for you, but have you kissed him in submission this past week? Well, kiss the Son. Oh, think of heaven. How often we will be found kissing the Son, embracing Christ. Oh, to know more of it here below. Well, we think in Psalm 2 of kissing the Son. Here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2, we think of the Lord kissing the saints. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me. And as you think of these words, are you already saying to the Lord, come and kiss me, make known thy love to me, assure me and comfort me in view of thy love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, just before we look at these words in a little more detail tonight, as we come to the Song of Solomon, yes, there are lessons to be learnt in the Song of Solomon for husbands and for wives, and we do not overlook that. However, we chiefly consider Christ and the church, and as we think of the church, the individual believer, we chiefly look for those lessons. We chiefly consider Christ and the church. Yes, there are lessons for a husband and wife, but oh, we look to Christ here, and we consider also the church. Now, we have here in the Song of Solomon the bridegroom and the bride. In Matthew 25, verse 1, we consider Christ as the bridegroom. And then in Revelation 21, verse 9, and Revelation 22, verse 17, cross-reference with Ephesians 5, verse 32, we have the bride, the church. So in the Song of Solomon, we consider the bridegroom, Christ, and then the bride, the church, or the individual believer. And then further, as we come to the Song of Solomon, it has been put by Matthew Henry that the 45th Psalm is the key to unlock the Song of Solomon. And young ones here tonight, in your own time, or ask your parents to show this to you. If you go to Psalm 45, and then also to the opening chapters of Hebrews, you plainly see Christ in Psalm 45. And then you come to the Song of Solomon. With Psalm 45, you see that the 45th Psalm is like a key to unlock the book. But then above that, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ in this song, consider his own testimony to those on the road to Emmaus. He said to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24, verse 26. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, to have been there, to have listened to that sermon of Christ on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses, beginning with Genesis and Exodus, and on he would go. He would come to Esther. He would come to the book of Psalms. He would come to the Song of Solomon, and he would open up the Song of Solomon and show those things concerning himself. No wonder their hearts began to burn on the way to Emmaus, even before they recognized who the one was that was walking with them. Without any shadow of doubt, as we think of those words in Luke 24, the Song of Solomon concerns Christ and the church. Well, with these things in mind, let's come then directly to verse 2 tonight. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And first of all tonight, I'd like us to consider the unnamed bridegroom from verse 2. The unnamed bridegroom. Secondly, the humble yet eager request. Thirdly, the loving kiss of Christ. And fourthly, the felt love of Christ. And dear brothers and sisters, do not we long to know more of the felt presence of Christ and the felt love of Christ? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Well, firstly, and very briefly tonight, I'd like us to consider the unnamed bridegroom. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now we have the bride speaking here, the church, or the individual believer. And it begins abruptly. We have in verse 1 the title, the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And then it begins rather abruptly. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now one may say, well, Solomon is mentioned in verse 1. And we've already considered that chiefly we consider Christ, who is the bridegroom in this song. However, in verse 2, the church abruptly begins, or the individual believer, without naming him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And what's happening here? She knows who it is. The believer knows the one she's considering. And she's so taken up with him, or he is so taken up with him. She just begins speaking to him. She's so focused on him and his love. Let him kiss me. She begins abruptly. She hasn't time to mention his name. She's just so taken up with him. Let him kiss me. Listen to Spurgeon. The person here alluded to is not named. This omission is very common and usual to the all-absorbing love. The spouse is thinking so much of Christ Jesus, her Lord, that it is not necessary for her to name him. The unnamed bridegroom, the believer so taken with Christ. Now consider a wife. Sometimes he may just speak out, and she doesn't speak to her husband by name, but she just speaks to him. Come over here, my dear. It's not uncommon, is it? Let him kiss me. Here's the believer, taken up with Christ. How precious it is to know his name, to know that his name is Jesus, to speak of him as the beloved. But oh, here, consider a time when one is just so taken with Christ. And that's where we want to be, isn't it? Yes, we rightly name his name. But oh, for times when we just so think of him and we so desire him to draw near and we desire to know afresh his love, let him kiss me. Oh, to just speak to him at times. Oh, just to ask him to draw near and kiss us. Oh, to be just so focused on him. It begins abruptly, this song. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Here the believer, so focused on the beloved, just wants to know more of his love. The believer is taken up with Christ. Oh, for those times. When our hearts are so stirred, we just begin talking to him. Draw near, Lord. Embrace me. Kiss my soul. Dear brothers and sisters, we do not always need to name his name, but oh, to so fix our minds on him. That's what we're considering here. The church so fixing the mind on Christ. But before we move on, is there someone here, you know the name of Christ, but you don't know him? You do not know what it is to embrace him, as we consider in Psalm 2, verse 12. And you've never known this embrace, this kiss of the Son. You know his name, but you don't know him. Oh, take heed to that exhortation in Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Oh, that you would see your need of him, that you would go to him, that you, through the grace of God, would believe in him, that you would embrace him, that you would love him for the first time. You may know his name, but you don't know him. Oh, that you yet would know him. And we who know him here tonight, oh, for times when our hearts are so stirred, as it were, we just abruptly but reverently begin, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Secondly tonight, the humble yet eager request. The humble yet eager request. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Here is a request. And I'm sure you're already making this request unto Christ tonight. If not, oh, begin to talk to him now. I sometimes say to my people back home in Cross Lanes, I trust there are times when you hear the word of God that you start responding to the Lord. You may hear those words. Our Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And I trust that my people begin talking to the Lord. I pray that you've already started talking to the Lord tonight. And you're sincerely saying these words. You're making your request. It's a request, isn't it? Let him kiss me. But let's consider firstly here, it's a humble request. Come with me to verse 5. I am black but comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. I am black. Now, we could consider a number of things here. First of all, black through suffering. You remember the psalmist this morning? He felt like that bottle, parched, dried. The bottle in the smoke. One feels the heat of affliction. Black through suffering. But particularly, we can consider black through sin. I am black but comely. Dear brothers and sisters, we do not deserve Christ. We have not merited his favour or his salvation. We look on ourselves and we say here, I am black. We feel our sin. We know we have never deserved the kiss of Christ to our soul. I am black. We say with the apostle in Romans 7 verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man. How often do we feel that? How often do we feel our sin? I was thinking this morning in preaching, struggling with sin. How often do I really struggle with sin as I ought to? Yes, sometimes we linger too long in considering our sin without going unto our Heavenly Father, but sometimes we don't even begin to struggle. Oh, wretched man that I am, all ever to be humble, esteeming others better than ourselves. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here the Apostle Paul, he waited to be delivered because he felt his sin. What's one of the great hopes you have when you leave this world, dear child of God? To be free from trial? That's a hope, isn't it? But have you a greater hope than that? To be free from sin. And if we look at it plainly, though our trials can be so hard, we long to be free from our sin. At death. That's what we long for, isn't it? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What an amazing moment it will be when we enter heaven, dear child of God, and we see Christ and we're taken by his love, and then we note the perfection of our souls, how we can so think of Christ without being disturbed, how no sin comes to our mind. Oh, do not we long for that? We feel our sin here. We say here with the church, with the believer here, I am black. At times we speak with Peter. Luke chapter 5 verse 8, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter felt his sin. How could he stand in the presence of Christ? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh Lord, do not we feel that at times? You know, in the gatherings of the saints, there is the special presence of Christ. And that needs to be encouraged in these days. I fear some in the Church of Jesus Christ are losing sight of the gatherings of the saints. The Lord is with us in that general way all the time. But oh, there is his special presence in the gatherings of the saints. He's promised it. Where two or three are gathered together. And then in Hebrews 2 verse 12, he leads the song, as we see there. The presence of the Lord. Do not we feel at times, how can we be here? In the presence of the King. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. O Lord, we feel our sin at times. Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I am black. It's a humble request then, as we come to verse 2. But just go back to verse 5. I am black, but comely. But comely. There is a robe, the robe of Christ's righteousness, covering me. In Philippians 3 verse 9 we read, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That wonderful robe. And in view of the robe of Christ's righteousness, we can say, I am black, but comely. Our eye is on Christ. We have not merited one kiss of Christ. It's all because of him, isn't it? How blessed we are. What a blessing to be a Christian. Covered by the robe of his righteousness. And admitted into his presence and embraced by him. We came dressed in rags, but he put a robe on us. The robe of the righteousness of his Son. I am black, but the focus turns to Christ. But comely. Oh, focus on him tonight. One of old wrote, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. We're humble because we feel our sin. We're humble because we've not merited anything. It's all because of Christ. I am black but comely. You know, it's a humbling thing to know the Lord knows everything about us. But what a comfort that when the Lord looks on us, he sees a wonderful robe, the robe of Christ's righteousness. I am black, but comely. Here the believer is humble. And as we think of this request in verse 2, how can we utter it but in humility? We don't deserve any more kisses of Christ. We don't deserve to know any more of the love of Christ. What we've known already, we haven't deserved. And we don't deserve one more kiss. But we will know them because of what he has done. We come humbly and we make this plea. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's a humble request, but it's also an eager request. Just notice how the song again begins, really, in verse 2. Let him kiss me. We thought of the unnamed bridegroom. Here's the believer so taken up with Christ. Humbly making this request. Desiring Christ to draw near. Eager to know more of the love of Christ. Are you eager tonight to know more of the love of Christ? You think of the love of Christ. We read of it earlier. The dimensions of the love of Christ. Are you eager to know more? To know more of the love of Christ. Now just come with me to the second chapter in verse 5. We'll go to verse 4 first of all. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. I've known so much of the love of Christ. I'm sick of love, but I desire more. I desire to know more. I'm eager to know more of the love of Christ. This humble request, Lord, draw near, kiss my soul. embrace me, help me. The heart is stirred. Oh, to know more of the stirring within the heart. One feels their sin, but led to consider Christ and desire to know more of him. There's this drawing here, is there not? Just come and meet a verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me. Have you been drawn in that initial way? Has the Lord drawn you to himself? And are you desiring to be drawn further, closer to the Lord? Draw me, we will run after thee. Has your heart been stirred? You eagerly desire to know more of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me. See, the heart here is so stirred. We will run after thee. Sadly, at times I seem to just be standing still. But oh, there are desires at times when I want to run after Christ. And I desire him then to stand still and turn and kiss me with the kiss of his mouth. Draw me. Listen to the Reverend John Brown of Haddington. Bring me into the nearest, the most ravishing intimacy that is spiritual with thyself. Draw me. And do not we desire that? And are we not eager for that closer intimacy, that spiritual intimacy with Christ? We desire to know more of his love. Draw me. One of old wrote, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer. I'm eager to know more of thy love. Dear brothers and sisters here at Watersham, is it not your desire to know more of Christ, who is the King and Head of this church? Draw me, is the cry of the church. And notice what we read in verse 4. We will run after thee. Draw me and we'll all run. Oh, here at Watersham, may you all be running after Christ this night and this coming week, making this eager plea. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. A humble but eager request. Now, when one is backsliding, there doesn't come this request. When one is going down a path of sin, is not on their mind. When one is being pulled to the world, where is the plea? But oh, here one is stirred. Oh, for my heart to be more stirred. And as I think of my people back there in the New Forest, oh, for the hearts of my people to be more stirred, that we would know as a congregation, collectively, the kisses of Christ, not one left out. All knowing the kisses of Christ. Well, here is the humble but eager request. Are you saying it to the Lord tonight? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Thirdly, the loving kiss of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, or the kiss of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Kiss me is the prayer of the believer. Now remember again, as we see in Psalm 2 verse 12, the kissing of Christ, the kiss of receiving or faith. Have you embraced the Son? Secondly, there is the kiss of love and affection. You think of that dining in Revelation. We dine with Christ. He speaks to us and we speak to him. There's that mutual dining. Oh yes, we are glad to listen so much to Christ. But he likes to listen to us, as we see in the Song of Solomon. Let me hear thy voice. Do we know that fellowship with him. The kiss of love and affection, the kiss of friendship, the kiss of submission, the kiss of adoration. Kiss the Son is the call in the gospel. And then we who love the Lord, we're to keep kissing the Son. But then here's the request. Let him kiss me. Let him, my Redeemer, my Saviour, my friend, my beloved, my altogether lovely one. It's all here in the Song of Solomon, isn't it? Song of Solomon 5 verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. There the church names Christ. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Let him, my Saviour, come and embrace me. Do you know Christ? Can you make this prayer? Have you never prayed such a prayer as this? Let him kiss me. Let him, my best friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, let him kiss me. My altogether lovely one. Never been disappointed in Christ. Often disappointed in myself, but never in Christ. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Let him then, who is my altogether lovely one, kiss me. Let him kiss me. Now, what does it mean here? Well, we've touched on this already. The kiss of Christ. Well, we note at the end of verse 2, for thy love is better than wine. There it is. When we think of the kiss of Christ, we're led to consider his love. Now, just before we go on and consider that, just notice these words. Let him kiss me. I'm a sinner. But I am asking him, who is altogether lovely, the spotless one, to draw near and kiss my soul. These are amazing words, aren't they? Who are we? We've already felt our sin in verse 5. I'm black. I'm a sinner. Let the Saviour, the spotless one, come and kiss me. I don't deserve a kiss. Any more kisses of Christ. But let him come to me and kiss me. Let him kiss me. We'll come back to this in closing. But let's focus on his love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Thy love or thy loves is better than wine. We're thinking of the love and certain aspects of the love of Christ. Now we note here these words. For thy love is better than wine. As we think there of wine, we could consider its lasting. In Israel in these days, it was abundant, sweet, precious, and refreshing. Psalm 104, verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Well, we can think there are certain qualities of the wine in Israel in these days. But let's now consider Christ and how far surpassing is the love of Christ and its qualities than the qualities of wine there in the days of Israel. Well, consider the love of Christ. It's so lasting, everlasting. How amazing that is. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Thy love is better than wine. It's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How amazing is the love of Christ. An everlasting love towards his people. Dear child of God, how amazing is the thought. We were the children of wrath, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2. Yet in light of Jeremiah, we were loved with an everlasting love. His love is better than wine. Oh, what love. It knew no beginning and it knew no end. Think of his love here upon earth and his love at Calvary. Remember what we read in the New Testament. He loved them unto the end. In those dying moments when he was in great pain, suffering for the sins of his people, in agony, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His love did not fluctuate for you, dear child of God. Bearing our sins in such pain, yet he loved us to the end. What love! Think of the abundance of wine in Israel's day and the abundance of the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Young ones here tonight, you may be asked at school or in the home to measure something. The width, the height, the depth. But here the apostle, he's considering the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ. And then he says this, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. We think of his love, it's eternal, infinite. And then to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. But oh, to know a little more of the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It's so abundant, for thy love is better than wine. Oh, to know more of this great and glorious love of Christ. Remember those words of our Lord, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Many recently have been remembering the sacrifice of many in this country, in America and other places, on the beaches in Normandy, France. Their sacrifice, their love for the country, for king and country. I went into the rest home in the New Forest a few days ago, and I was pleased to see that a text I had given them last November, in view of remembrance, that those words, greater love have no man than this, they put up in the room, and the elderly ones could read it. Well, we can think of the love of those who went forth to war, but consider the love of Christ. Greater love have no man than this. Oh, the greatness of the love of Christ. His heart is so full. Let him kiss me. We've known a little of the everlasting love of Christ. Oh, to know more. You see, when our hearts are stirred by the love of Christ, what does it make us do? We want to know more of the love of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Think further, it is sweet and precious. So sweet and precious. Wine may be of some price, precious. Think of the love of Christ. So precious. I can think of certain ones that have loved me. My dear mother, who's in glory now, how she loved me. Some of the first things she told me when I was a baby, I can't remember them, of course, but I know she did. She told me of the Saviour. And her last words to me before she died was this, Jesus is so dear to me. She told me of the Saviour. Her love for me was so great. I can think of others, the love of my dear wife, Sharon, the love of my children, the love of friends. But oh, then we come to the love of Christ, so precious. It's a precious thing to be loved by someone in the family. You wives here, to be loved by your husband. You husbands, to be loved by your wife. It's a precious thing to be loved by a friend, but oh, to be loved so by Christ. So precious is his love, no fluctuation, constant, always loving us. That's so amazing, isn't it? You know, when our Lord caught the eye of Peter, and Peter felt his sin, that he went out and wept bitterly, our Lord was grieved, but he still loved Peter. And he's grieved with me at times. He's grieved with his people at times, but he still loves us. And so he rebukes us and chastens us. How precious is the love of Christ. And when we feel the rebuke of Christ and it displays his love, are we not thankful for it? And it's precious. We may have been straying a little. And he, the shepherd, comes after us to restore our soul. And we feel his rebuke and we're reminded of his love. And it's precious, isn't it? He so loves us to rebuke us. So precious is his love. So pure, no defilement in his love. How he so loves you, dear child of God, at this moment. He's in our hearts, but consider him in heaven at this moment. And he looks down on us, and he so loves you with such a pure love. Think of the love of Christ, the purity, the sweetness, the preciousness, how it's everlasting. Think of the love of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's so wonderful, so precious, and I want to know more. You're saying it to Jesus again. Let him kiss me. How amazing is the special kiss of Christ to poor sinners in the time of effectual calling. Ezekiel 16 verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Thy time was the time of love. How amazing was that time. Some of you may not be able to remember the precise moment, but what a time it was. Christ remembers the moment he drew near and he kissed you. He showed you his special love. How amazing is the kiss of Christ to a poor sinner. We feel our sin. Dear brothers and sisters, we're thankful. He so loved us and he drew near and he embraced us. Yet we still feel our sin, yet we can say to him, kiss me. Kiss me again, Lord. And as we draw to a close, fourthly, the felt love of Christ. We thought of the love of Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. But as we conclude, let's consider the felt love of Christ. Let him kiss me. We're focusing on his love. But here we see the application. The feeling of his love. Let him kiss me. When one is given a kiss, it's felt. That's a simple little illustration. You young ones here tonight, when your dad or mum gives you a kiss, maybe at night time, just before you go to bed, you feel the kiss, don't you? Oh, to feel the love of Christ. That's our longing, isn't it? We fought for the love of Christ, but we desire more. We desire to know it again, to feel it. Let him kiss me. And when one is married, they begin to really kiss. Think of when the Lord draws near in that time of effectual calling. There's the embrace, the kiss of faith and love as we see in Psalm 2, and then the kiss of Christ, and the love of Christ is known, but oh, to know more of it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, to feel it. We do not always sense it, who may be in some trial and we're struggling. Oh, that he would draw near and kiss me, and we don't sense it, yet he is at times, but we don't sense it. But oh, to feel it and to be so affected by it. Let him kiss me, that my heart would be stirred. Oh, for the felt love of Christ, to know the comfort that he is mine, that refreshment, that gladness in my soul, that joy that nothing will separate me from him. Let him kiss me. Here's our plea to Christ. Come near to my soul. Through the word and through the spirit. And kiss me. Let the king draw near. Kiss me. That I would feel his love. Whatever you're going through at this time. The struggles you face. As individuals and maybe as a church. What is your prayer tonight? Let him draw near. And kiss me. And not only me, but every member, every friend of the congregation. Verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. Kiss me, Lord. Make this prayer, kiss us here at Wattisham, as I pray for my people at home. Kiss the brethren at Cross Lanes. Kiss me, that I might feel the love of Christ. Come near, blessed Redeemer, and kiss me. Oh, we know the kisses of Christ often when we turn to the Word, as we attend the gatherings of the saints. But also have we not proved in the storms of life the drawing near of the captain and the kiss from his lips, the assurance of his love? I found this quote the other day by Samuel Rutherford. He wrote a letter to someone who was going through a difficult time, was facing stormy weather. And this is what Samuel Rutherford wrote in light of these words. If ye would have present comfort under the cross, be much in prayer. For at that time your faith kisseth Christ, and he kisseth the soul. Let me read that again. If you would have present comfort under the cross, be much in prayer. For at that time your faith kisseth Christ, and he kisseth the soul. And how precious are the kisses of Christ in the storms of life. From time to time, churches go through difficulties. How precious are the kisses of Christ in those difficulties. Cry out in trial individually, cry out in church difficulties. Let him kiss me. I want to feel thy love. As a congregation, I want to feel thy love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In closing, just note these words again. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, as you read these words, it's implied the church, the believer, had already known the kiss of Christ. But the church, the believer, desires to know more of the kisses of Christ. Let me say, when a man and woman are married, they really begin to kiss each other again and again, or so it should be. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Come, let him kiss me. Let there be fresh manifestations of his love and discoveries of his love. Keep coming, Lord, to my soul. Keep kissing me, for I desire to know more of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Amen.